All right, 913-3810-810. We got an abbreviated Sports or Leisure. Try to have a little fun as we not wrap things up on a Thursday because we've got the coordinators and then Tyrann Mathieu before the show is over. We will hear from them. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. Load up the phone lines if you want to play some Sports or Leisure. It's presented by Johnny's Tavern. $25 to Johnny's Tavern is on the line. If you get a sports question and a leisure question right, you win. If you get either of them wrong, you lose. And the question is out there available for someone to call in and request if they happen to know it or if they have Googled it. That does not matter to us. We're just trying to get as many winners as possible. We'll probably go till about 117, 118, and then have to break because we don't know when practice is going to get over, and then the coordinators will be at the podium. So we want to hear from them as they get set for the Steelers coming up on Sunday. Again, 913-3810-810. So we are definitely going to play Sports or Leisure here. It's not a great transition from saying this to then having some fun, but I think he would be perfectly fine with doing that because of who he is and having fun as much as he does. So I've asked first before, you know, saying this on the air, so I'm not speaking out of turn or anything or letting anything out of the bag that somebody did not want to be out there or public knowledge. But Josh Briscoe was in today for Corey Anderson. And some may have noticed yesterday that in the middle of the show, Corey was on with us. And then through the Mick Schaefer hour, Corey was not on with us the rest of the way. It is sad news that Corey received in the middle of the show yesterday that Corey's mother had passed away unexpectedly yesterday late morning. And he found out about that in the middle of the show, and he is now on his way to Buffalo to take care of everything as her only child. And so our thoughts, prayers are with Corey and his family, you know, somebody who I am obviously very close with and feel very bad for right now because I know it's a rough time for him. And so yesterday was rough and it's going to be rough for a while in having to go through that, and losing somebody unexpected like that. So I don't know when Corey is going to be back on the air with us. Honestly, I don't even care when Corey's going to be back on the air with us. He's going to take as much time as he could possibly need, and we want him to do that. So we will handle the show in his stead. And everybody is thinking about you, Corey. I know listeners certainly are thinking about you and everything. And so, you know, we are here for you, and we feel bad.
And if you want to tweet him, he's at Corey WHB on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's hard, man. It's just hard out here all the time for everybody. Everyone knows that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for me a few months back to see the people that had reached out and the outpouring of concern and love that came just through something as absolutely toxic and evil as Twitter was really, really nice. I'm sure Corey would be happy to hear from anybody who wanted to reach out at Corey WHB on Twitter. That was nicer than I expected it to be. I'm sure it would have the same effect for Corey.
Well, I think that there's a lot of places that can be toxic, but I still believe that the large majority of people are good people.
Yeah.
I truly
believe
that.
Even on Twitter, I believe that.
Yes, I believe that as well. Yeah. I believe in people, and I know that. And it comes through in moments like what you had to face and moments that Corey has to face unexpectedly. Whether it's unexpected or it's expected or it's, you know, it's going to happen soon, it's never easy to do. But it's just a matter of finding a way to get through it, leaning on friends, family, and things like that to try to find a way to cope, to handle, to grieve. And that's what Corey is going through right now. And so whenever he's back, he's back. But we will handle everything for him. And Josh today has the leisure. Like I said, it's not an easy transition from that to Sports or Leisure.
Right.
But with it being Corey, I think he would maybe prefer
that. He would have handled
that
it way worse than we just did. Way worse. You kidding me?
No.
You kidding? He would have.
He would have
beefed this up so many times by now.
He would have nailed it. He would have done the same thing, and he would have been perfectly fine with going from that to then. You know what? Let's have some fun here. All right. Let's lighten the mood. Let's have some fun. People had been texting and wondering, or even texting in and saying, "Oh, of course, Corey gets another day off. Now he's got days off before the Steelers game, and Big Ben's out there, so I guess he doesn't want to talk about that." No, Corey had no plans to be off today or tomorrow or however many days next week as well. So we're all thinking about you, Corey. 913-318-1810 is the phone number. We'll hear from the coordinators. We'll try to get as many winners as possible.
Good work pulling the music down there, Beards. It was a good call by you.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah, that would have been worse.
And Corey likes to give hints, so maybe we'll give some hints along the way as well. 913-318-1810. So let's play some sports or leisure and lighten the mood while we also know that we're still thinking about Corey. So I'm ready to go. Josh, you good to go with the leisure
ready to
side?
Go. Yes.
Beards, what about you, sir?
I am ready.
As good as you'll ever be. You're
basically.
You're like the line from, I guess it was Toby Keith, about Melvin Ingram. He wrote that song, that not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. Something like that? I don't know. That was close.
All right,
let's go to Avery is going to get us started here in an abbreviated version of Sports or Leisure presented by Johnny's Tavern. Avery, what side would you like to start with, sir?
I'll do leisure. Do you guys have foursomes?
Oh, I do. I wasn't going to pull anything from that this week, but if you have one you like.
And by the way, Corey would love the fact that the first question was, do you have foursomes?
Yeah, that's a great point. And so, also that I wasn't ready for it. I was going to skip that category completely. You're a real wily one. He just needs to name four actors from these lists from one of these movies, correct? That's the foursomes category. How about Tin Cup?
Oh, okay. Well, I feel like that's Kevin Costner and maybe like Rene Russo. And then I feel like there's probably some real golfers in there, like maybe like Lee Trevino and Vijay Singh.
Those last two names are not on Corey's list. I have not seen the film. I'm looking to
Jason
to be the guiding
light. Yeah, I also have not seen the film. I bet not. Sorry about Corey's bad news.
And, yeah.
And sorry about your bad news, Josh. I heard you getting married. anyway, thanks, guys.
Yes, thank you, Avery. I appreciate it, man.
Yep. Sorry, I was going to skip that category completely because there's
I don't have any of the questions in front of me.
I've got Christmas movies.
We didn't even go through categories, by the way.
I was trying to let you drive that. It's okay. You can call in and get Christmas movies, popular music, or 21st century comedies from me today.
Okay, you can get NFL general, or you can get Chiefs specific NFL. We've got some college football, but I don't really care about asking those questions. We'd like to keep it just specific NFL or Chiefs because we don't have a lot of time. Let's get back to the phone lines, and let's hear from Andrew next up. Andrew, sports or leisure, what side would you like to start with, sir?
Can I have a Tin Cup question?
Sure, yeah. Wipe that one out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So he said Costner and Rene Russo.
Yep.
Don Johnson and Cheech Marin.
That works.
Sorry. That was correct.
Yeah.
I had to verify. Beards had to see my thumb up. We had to get that. But that is absolutely all correct.
I don't have it in front of me, but I do know they were a part of that.
Yes. That was a winner.
Yeah. On to the sports side. Andrew, what side, what category would you like?
What'd you have on sports? I didn't hear.
We have NFL, and then we've got Chiefs-specific NFL. We also have college football, but just a couple of those.
Let's go Chiefs.
All right, Chiefs. Yeah, Chiefs for you. Which one? You know what? Let's do... Man, which one do I want to do with the Chiefs one? You know what? Let's do this. Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith both started every game this year as rookies. Can you tell me the last rookie for the Chiefs to start every game his rookie season? Still on the Chiefs, by the way.
Any position.
Any position. Any position. Still on the Chiefs. A starter for the Chiefs. And while starting every game, he did not finish the season.
Oh.
I thought I had it until that.
Well, you're dumb.
I feel dumb.
Yeah. I tell you this, Corey would have had it.
I can't always
be
Corey.
Shout out to Corey. Gosh.
Starting on this team, started every game his rookie year, but did not finish the season.
did not finish the season.
You know it now?
Yes.
Josh, okay.
Yes, I do.
Thank God he finally started this year.
Yeah, just name a starter the Chiefs drafted. That'll get you halfway there.
Yeah, they will get you halfway there.
Oh, you got tech, you got a clock on me.
We got the clock. You've been clocked.
Offense, defense?
Either one. Yes.
Oh, damn.
Yes.
Okay, good one.
Go.
Yeah,
throw a name. Throw a name.
Nick Bolton. I know that's not right. But.
It's not. but thank you for playing, Andrew. Appreciate it. Let's go to the phone lines, and we've got Jeff next up on Sports or Leisure. Jeff, what side would you like to start with, sir?
I'm going to attempt that Chiefs question.
Yeah, go right ahead. The last rookie to start every game his rookie year, like Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith have done. He started every game, but he did not finish the season. He is also a current starter for the Chiefs. Thank God, finally.
Is it Andrew Wiley?
It is not.
Fun fact, he was
not Andrew Wiley.
Chiefs Rookie of the Year winner 1 year, I think.
Really?
Jeff,
I appreciate the phone call.
We've done that bit many times.
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, it's nuts. I'll find you that
Wiley
exactly.
Wiley was the Rookie of the Year?
It was the Breland Speaks class, because Wiley wasn't drafted
by
the
I guess
Chiefs.
Somebody had to be Rookie of the Year.
But it was a brutal... Mackley Hill Award for the rookies. Andrew Wiley won it in 2018 despite being, I think, a Brown and a Colt first. Yeah,
good
correct.
For him.
And a Charger.
Good for him. Let's go to next up is George. Sports or Leisure, George, what side do you want to start with, bud?
Hey, I was going to do the foursomes on the 10 Cup, but that's done. So yeah. Let's just take a shot at Leisure. Oh, by the way, my mom passed away suddenly 24 years ago, and I think about it all the time. And so prayers to Corey. That's brutal, man. I'm so sorry.
Yep, absolutely.
Right ahead, sir, though.
Yesterday was a tough day around here, certainly.
Yeah, so I'm going to just pick it up from there and say Christmas movies, popular music, or 21st century comedies.
Oh, God, it's Christmas or comedies. You pick.
Who is the voice of the Grinch in the newest animated version of the film released in 2018?
Oh, God, it wasn't Jim Carrey.
No.
Live-action Grinch. Nope. Animated one.
Barrow.
Oh, man, you're trying, and I'm flaming.
His name isn't Barry, but he plays a character named Barry.
What?
Oh, my God, Bill Hader?
Yeah. Is it Bill Hader?
No, Jason led you astray.
Oh, sorry.
That's on Jason.
No. He can keep going.
Jason.
George, you can keep going. It's not Bill Hader?
No.
I thought this whole time that was Bill Hader.
It's a man with a much more wonderful name.
You led me into Bill Hader, though.
You did. You get a second shot. Jason led you astray.
I led you astray. Yeah, you guys were looking at me like I was, had three eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's Bill. Is it not Bill? Oh, God, now I feel, hold on. Are you telling me that?
The animated Grinch from 2018 is a current power broker in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. How about that? How about that for a major swing?
Okay.
Oh, okay. We're going to go with Ant-Man, Paul Rudd.
Oh, it is not Paul Rudd. It is not Paul Rudd.
Someone's going to call in and get that.
George, right, thank George, you for playing, sir. It is Bill Hader. That's who we were looking for.
It's not Bill Hader.
We would have accepted Bill Hader as well.
Bill Hader.
Man.
Paul Rudd doing the Grinch would have been fun, though.
Yeah, I agree. Bill Hader being Ant-Man might have been fun. I'm not sure.
Sure, it would have been. Bill Hader's wonderful.
This whole time. You know how often we've watched that movie
in the last month? The new animated one from a couple years ago.
Yes.
Tyler, the Creator soundtrack.
Yes.
We watched that a lot.
Still, yesterday, my daughter wanted to watch Grinch. And I want to watch Grinch. Like, that's the Grinch we watch. Because the Jim Carrey one is just odd. It's weird. It's too scary for kids.
Not a kid's movie.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that one. That's interesting. Okay, so... this whole time, I have pictured William Hader. All right, let's go to Patrick next up on Sports Radio 810. Patrick, Sports or Leisure?
Hey, I think I know the Grinch one.
Okay, Jason doesn't.
I do not. Yeah, it's not Bill Hader.
Is it Benedict Cumberbatch?
It most certainly
you
is.
You know what? I get those guys mixed up all the time.
Do you really?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, that seems wild.
Not even close, but they do sound a lot. Hey, when you go and watch the Grinch again...
I will think about it.
Think about, picture Bill Hader.
Okay.
And tell me that it's not that. Like, I didn't know who it was. I didn't see the voice actors or anything. All right, on to the sports side, sir. We've got NFL. We've got Chiefs-specific NFL and, you know, some college football, too.
I'll try a Chiefs question.
All right, so we got the one out there about the rookies starting every game. Do you want that one or a fresh one?
That one. Let's do a fresh one.
All right, very good. Darrell Williams surpassed 1,000 scrimmage yards in the game against the Broncos. He has 1,010, so thankfully he got enough before he got hurt. He's the third player in Chiefs history to have 1,000 yards from scrimmage as an undrafted free agent. Who are the other two Chiefs 1,000 yards from scrimmage combined rushing and receiving? Because obviously just a... You know, I should say he's the third running back. I shouldn't say player.
Yeah.
He's the third running back to be undrafted.
Priest is one, right?
Priest is one. That's why I said name both, because I figured that was the gimme. He did it four times.
Yeah.
And then there's somebody that did it once, fan favorite in the city, and 1 year got a chance to be the feature back. And it's not named Kimball Anders, but he played the same position.
Right.
In 2000.
2000.
Oh, God.
And he had a lot of money, or at least that was a nickname.
Mm. 2000?
Uh-huh.
Oh, those were some bad years, right?
Yep.
Darrell Williams is going to be a fun trivia question in a few years.
You'll kick yourself if you, and that's not a hint, by the way. I'm just saying, Patrick, you will be mad if you don't figure this one out. It's not a hint that you'll kick yourself. It's not Nick Lowry or anything, you know. It's not.
This should be a lot easier. Oh, my God.
But nicknamed somebody that had a lot of money, played fullback, but was a feature back for 1 year, got over 1,000 yards from scrimmage, undrafted.
Oh, my God. Fullback. I know this.
I don't know who it was.
Oh,
T-Rich, yeah!
That's right!
Tony Richardson! All right, that's a winner, right?
That's a winner, yes!
Yes,
Benedict
we got
Cumberbatch
one!
Benedict and T-Rich!
Patrick, we got one! Yeah!
You guys are great. Thank
all right,
you.
Thank you, Patrick. I
figured
I appreciate
that one
it.
Out late in the shot.
Let's get Eli in here. Last one. Eli, you are wrapping up Sports or Leisure here, the final contestant in our abbreviated Sports or Leisure. What side do you want to start with, Eli?
Let's go Leisure.
21st century comedies, pop music, Christmas movies.
Let's go pop music.
Actor Jared Leto is the front man for what band?
Why, is he still in the band?
Yes. I don't know how often they've released music, but they had something a couple years ago.
Something Mars.
How long does it take to get to that wonderful red planet?
30 seconds to Mars.
Correct.
Good job. It does. Good work. That's all it takes.
Yeah, it's quick. It's a quick trip.
Man, I would love to go there then if it's...
Onto the football-shaped planet first.
That's right. Onto the sports side, sir. We've got Chiefs, generic NFL, or what are you thinking?
Let's go generic NFL.
All right, generic NFL for you. Let's see. Patrick Mahomes got to 150 touchdown passes in his career in just his 62nd game over the weekend. He became the second fastest to do that by games to get to 150. What quarterback still holds the record for the quickest to 150 by just one game? Mahomes took 63. This guy did it in 62 games to 150.
Has it been
within
the last 20 years?
Let's see. Counting down. It was, no, probably within the last 40 years.
Gotta be Dan Marino.
It is Dan Marino. Very well done. Back-to-back winners to wrap up Sports or Leisure. That's how we do it here. It's just that easy. Thank you, Eli. We'll get your information. Thank you, sir. $25 to Johnny Savern on the line. Okay, so the rookie that started every game his rookie year, obviously.
Juan Thornhill.
It was Juan Thornhill. Started every game but did not finish the season with the torn ACL and is finally starting again this year. I thought those were pretty good hints.
Yeah, I like those. It took me a while to get there, but I got there.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Do I get a gift card?
No, you do not.
Okay, cool.
Beards takes them all that we don't give away. So if you want to go out with Beards to dinner at Johnny's, you can get a gift card.
I'll go to Johnny's and pay for myself.
Good for you. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We got Chiefs press conferences next. We'll hear from the Chiefs coordinators and Tyrann Mathieu coming up soon. They are just getting done with practice. Wrapping that up. Pittsburgh Steelers' Deontay Johnson at the podium today as they get set for the Chiefs. He was asked if he's motivated by being a big underdog. His response was, "For sure. People are expecting us to go out there and have another tough loss like that. That's what they expect. They don't expect us to come back with a better plan. I like being in this situation because once we win, don't try to hop back on the bandwagon. Remember all that stuff you're saying now. I'm just going to leave it like that." Okay. Once we win, ooh, Bolinson Ford, Deontay Johnson's guaranteeing victory. Well, now the Chiefs are ready to go. You just poked a sleeping bear that I don't think was sleeping.
I think they're awake.
Yeah, they were going to attack you anyway.
They might be a little lethargic, like a bear that just woke up from not even hibernation, but just like a good nap, just an overnight sleep.
I feel like the Steelers are Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are the bear, only it doesn't end with him just being mauled and walking away.
Right.
Yeah, it will end on Sunday night around 10:15. Well, let's be honest, around 8:30 is when it will end. They'll still have to play out the string of the rest of the game. So arrogant and cocky on this game. Last time I was this like strong on a postseason game that it was like, come on, guys, was the Texans and Chiefs in the divisional round?
I don't know that I am physically fit enough to have that happen again.
And I joked about it earlier this week, you know, saying that, you know, this is the comparison there, because I heard about it a lot in the first quarter about how I'm an idiot and good call. And yeah, you're right. It is a blowout, just the wrong way. A lot of those that were happening.
Like social media?
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't seem like Twitter.
I know, right? I know, right? But I felt good going into half. And the second half, and then the fourth, and so on, and so on, and so on. Because that's how the game, I believed, was going to go.
It's wild that...
was when they fell behind 24-0 and then got it rolling again.
Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson are going to make their returns on two different teams, eventually. Like, that is crazy that there was a moment in that game where they looked like the thing in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to end with Deshaun Watson probably being a Dolphin and Bill O'Brien also maybe being in Florida, I guess. I could see the Jags hiring Bill O'Brien. That seems right.
Yeah. We're a college team. Who knows where he ends up. We've done this the last few years, and I don't know if you heard this, Josh. We are, it was named by Petro. He called it the Anderson Index. I did not call it that. He called it the Anderson Index. But it's my playoff eliminator that I've done the 2018, 19, 20, and now 21 going into the postseason for the Chiefs. I did it in 19 and 20 when I was on the air here, and we do it now for the 21 season. But I went back in 2018 as well with the Chiefs being in the postseason. And I look at a number of different categories. It took me like a week of just looking at all different stats of the last 10, 12 playoffs.
Big whiteboard on the wall.
Yeah. I mean, it took a while just to see if there were stats that were like specific that teams are just finishing in the top five, top 10. There were a lot that didn't matter, like red zone percentage, offensive defense, all over the board. Third down, all over the board. You know, there were a number of things that were like, okay, that doesn't matter. But there were five markers, you know, indicators or stats that, you know, can be viewed as pretty generic because it's not DVOA or expected points added or anything like that, that all had a consistent theme. Point differential, scoring defense, scoring offense, total offense, and total defense. So looking at all of those different markers, the last 12 playoffs is what I used because 2 years ago I went 10, and then now there's been two playoffs since, so I'm going to go 12 and just keep adding on. The point differential overall, the 24 teams that have made the Super Bowl, 20 of the 24 have been in the top three of their own conference in point differential.
Okay.
So you're not making the Super Bowl essentially without that.
Right.
Scoring defense, six straight teams have won the Super Bowl by having a top 10 scoring defense.
Okay.
And 13 of 16 teams that have made the Super Bowl in the last 8 years. Scoring offense, seven of the last eight in the top 10 have won the Super Bowl. Five straight have been in the top five in scoring offense. And total offense, 10 out of 10 teams that made the Super Bowl in the last 5 years were ranked in the top 10 of scoring offense. So then I went through that and I did the eliminator of which teams in the playoffs, both AFC and NFC, fit those markers and come up in every single category. There were four. So we said this on Tuesday. There were four. Maybe it was yesterday. I don't know. In the AFC, two, and the NFC, two. AFC, Buffalo, and Kansas City mm-hmm. are the only ones that meet all of that criteria. In the NFC, Tampa Bay and Dallas are the only ones that fit that criteria. Now,
do you know what keeps the Packers out?
Yes, I do. Okay. Absolutely. The Packers are out because point differential, they are fifth in the NFC. They are also 10th in scoring offense and not top five. They are also 14th in scoring defense and not top 10. So they're actually out by three different. New England is right. New England is in four or five.
Interesting.
So if it's not Buffalo or Kansas City, I could see it being New England. And just looking at 2018, 2019, and 2020. So last year's postseason, there were two teams that matched the criteria in the two conferences. Chiefs and Bucks.
I like this.
In 2019, there were three teams that matched the criteria of that. Baltimore, Chiefs, and 49ers. In 2018, only one team matched all five of those. Patriots in 2018. So maybe it's a coincidence, right? This year it might be Titans and Packers, and I'm like, well, this year it did not work.
I think it might work for the Packers if you adjust for the Jordan Love instances, by the way. If you want a little extra homework there.
Could be. It could also work if you adjust for the guys that have been missing, that Jair Alexander, Za'Darius Smith. How much does that change their defensive scoring? How much does that change their point differential?
Getting Bakhtiari
like
back. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
So there are certainly parts of that
you can fudge
see.
Those numbers if you'd like.
Right.
So you know, I think you got a path.
And if it's New England, I can say, well, yeah, but New England, you know, we said five straight have finished in the top five of scoring offense, and they're number six in the league.
Just add the category.
It's the only one that New England is not a part of. They're a part of every other one except they're number six in scoring offense. So if it was an arbitrary cutoff of top six,
you're good again.
It would be Chiefs, Bills, Patriots. But it's not.
It's not.
It's top five.
Top five.
That's it. We cut off at five because it's a round number.
Because we have that many fingers. That is really why we do it.
Right. Well, we got four fingers and one thumb.
Digits.
Four plus
digits
one. Digits.
On
right.
A,
okay, that's very good.
Do you consider a thumb a finger?
Yeah.
I'm going to put out a poll question.
Phalanges and whatever. So it's worked so far. It's weird that in 2020, there were only two teams that matched up.
Super
so we talked about that last year, that, you know, hey, it's Tampa and the NFC. You know, we'll find out. Like, I don't think that's going to happen because they got to go on the road and win these games. They end up winning the Super Bowl. And then it was the 49ers the year before that make the Super Bowl. And then 2018, the fact that there was only one team that matched that in the entire playoffs, and that was the team that ended up winning the Super Bowl, I think is certainly of interest and of note for the playoffs. So there are four teams, Tampa Bay, Dallas, Chiefs, and Buffalo. And we talked with Cynthia Freeland yesterday, and the odd part of that is if seeds hold to form, which we know always happens in playoffs and postseasons and one-game eliminations, it's always chalk. But if seeds hold to form, the divisional round matchup is Chiefs and Bills, Bucks and Cowboys. In the divisional round matchup, the four teams that meet the criteria, two of them would be gone before they even get to the championship game. So we might be talking about going into divisional round weekend in the NFL and saying the Super Bowl participants are going to come from the winner of the Chiefs and the Bills and the Bucks and the Cowboys, if that's the case. We'll find out. What happens. But the Chiefs and the Bills in all five categories, Tampa Bay, Dallas. Dallas is a surprise.
Yeah.
Adam Kaplan this morning, though, you know, he was on with the Border Patrol, and they were talking about teams in the NFC, and he said, you know, a team that people aren't paying enough attention to or giving enough of a chance is, I like the Dallas Cowboys. I think they're a team that can make some noise and can find themselves in L.A. To play for the Super Bowl. And I thought, hey, I would have been surprised a few days ago before I did this exercise to match up with the last you know, few years. So
yeah,
we will. We shall find out.
I think that's really interesting. Very good analysis. And also, if you'd like to sound off on the thumb thing, you can vote in the poll question. Are thumbs fingers? Do you have five fingers or four fingers in a thumb?
Yep. Which is the most important part of that. I just did all of that breakdown.
Yeah.
But we want to get to the real nuts and bolts of the whole thing.
I'm here to lighten
your
load
today. I have the answer.
I don't know if I want the real. I asked Renee yesterday about if vampires are cannibals. And she was like, no, here's an actual answer with a word I'd never heard of. I was like, well, that's not.
All thumbs are fingers. Not all fingers are thumbs.
Is a hot dog a sandwich or a taco?
You got me on that dismount.
Winning.
Is a hot dog a sandwich or a bowl of cereal?
Well, no, but a hot dog could be a taco, though, if you think about it. I asked Guy Fieri about this a few years ago. He didn't really get it.
How about
maybe
that name drop?
I know. So you get...
Well, I was hanging out with Guy Fieri the other night, and I just asked him, hey, Guy.
I texted my friend Guy. I was like, hey.
Hey, G. His good friends call him G.
So you have, you know, a tortilla and then, like, some meat and some toppings and a taco, right? On this other side, you have a hot dog bun, a sphere of meat, and some toppings. You know, a flour tortilla or a flour bun, you know? You could chop up a hot dog in really small bits, and people would just assume it's taco seasoning, taco filling. I think that's probably what Taco Bell does. You know what I mean? Like,
I was guessing that would be the next step. I think both of us had that in mind.
Yeah.
You were just already heading there.
Taco Bell soft tacos might be hot dogs.
You were on the highway. I was getting on the entrance ramp. There was no chance I was going to beat you to that.
I've been thinking about this for literally years now. So that's no offense to you. That's no issue with the speed on your draw. I've just spent a lot of time thinking about this.
Well, I don't have a car that's going to get up to speed that quick.
Fair enough.
Not there yet.
And I've been getting up to speed. I'm going 400 miles an hour on this particular highway. I've been thinking about this regularly.
You've been accelerating for 3 years straight.
Yeah.
How long is this highway?
Yeah, it is a long highway.
It's about time they built a highway that's just straight around the globe.
Yeah, you can just hop on a
straight highway. No exits.
No.
Just straight around. Once you're on, it's like heading to St. Louis. You know,
yeah.
What is that called? Not the fast lane, but when you get over to the left.
The HOV, high occupancy vehicle. It's a hot dog occupancy vehicle.
Right. But once you get inside the cement barrier, it's like you're not getting off the highway until you get to downtown St. Louis.
You said that word in a way I didn't enjoy. Cement is what I would say. You just your enunciation there.
I said cement?
Cement, yeah.
Cement.
Yeah, that's not a note or anything. It just sort of caught me off guard. I was wondering what those barriers are made out of.
Cement. Cement? I don't know. Never noticed that I pronounced it that way until I said it. Is it plaza or plaza?
That one I won't fight you on. Because
it's plaza.
Cement was... I knew what you meant after you said it, but about 75% of the way through that word, I got really confused.
I have no idea what those barriers are made of.
That's what I'm saying.
I have no clue.
Where is Dave Tope?
Or Spags.
Well, Spags is supposed to be first, but...
Or EB.
They're, you know, I've been sitting over here for the last, like, 15 minutes just hoping and praying they get here on time, and they haven't been.
Who hoping looks the most dejected on the Zoom right now?
Here's
Pick a friend of the station, I guess.
You've been sitting there for 15 minutes hoping they would get here on time. They're 13 minutes late.
I know.
So you really only sat there for
Rob
2
Collins
minutes hoping they were on time.
Gum bubbles.
Okay.
Really? Okay.
Vahe is just staring directly into the camera.
And not looking away, just like a psychopath?
It's
like a sociopath just staring directly.
He's more looking down at his screen,
I guess. Okay, that's okay.
Sam McDowell doesn't have his camera on.
Coward. Come on, Sam.
Interesting.
Let's see here.
Who else is on that Zoom?
Harold Koontz is kind of looking away.
I want to know if anybody looks like they...
That's about it in terms of
all right, that's
people
fine.
that have their cameras on. There's a lot of other people in here, but just nobody else has their cameras on.
Who all's in there? Who can we expect to hear questions from?
Ooh, that's a good question. I see Todd Lebo.
Turn on your camera, Lebo!
He
now
just
we go
waved.
To, now we
he
go
waved?
To,
he just waved. He
Excellent.
Turned on his camera and he waved.
Yay!
Excellent.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Todd.
Let's see. I see Herbie sitting there.
Hi, Herbie.
Does Herbie look like he's got a good question today? Be honest.
I bet he does.
He almost always does.
He looks like he's good.
There's like I think there's a look when you're like, Herbie's got something today. He's gonna get to the bottom of some bleep today.
That's right.
That's about it. Nobody else really
sticking
out. Is Sorensen
on there?
He's there, but his camera's not on.
Yeah, I'm just wondering who all's a part of it.
Okay.
You know?
So let's see. Yep, Sorensen.
I don't trust
there.
Beards to name only people that he should be naming right now.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Matt Derrick's there.
There we go.
Hey, hi, Matt.
I see Jordan Foote's photo.
Hello. Does Matt look scarred from something he opened earlier today?
That's why his camera's off.
My my buddy texted me because I was getting texts from friends that were like, dude, he's out. Hey, congrats, man. And I was replying to them and saying, no, it's a parody account, but do not click on the bio of said parody account. And one of my buddies replied and said, you did not give me near as strong of a warning as you should have. I said, I told you not to. What more do you want?
By the
do
way,
not
Josh,
do that.
Thanks for making Jason show that to me. I appreciate that.
I didn't make anybody do anything.
Wrong Jason, by the way. Not this Jason.
No,
there's another
Jason
here.
Drake Jason.
You know, it's confusing because there's two Jasons and there's a couple of Andersons. And there's one Corey. Well, there's a couple of Coreys. There's a Chad Corey and a Corey Anderson.
There's
and there's
like
a Jason
three
Anderson.
Chads.
And then there's a Jason Justice. And then there's a Drake. And
there's a Beards. But sometimes people call by a different name. For
and
some
there's
reason.
A Shaves. So, I mean, there's a mustache. There's a Beards. Clyde didn't work out today, so Clyde did
no
not
practice.
Go.
He was limited yesterday. Not a great sign.
Yeah, and Andy did say that, you know, he'll see how it goes, that those guys took place in practice and have to see how it goes the rest of the week. And a lot of times that see how it goes is, well, we'll see what he feels like, you know, the next day. See what he feels like tomorrow and then the next day and if he's going to play. So he worked out yesterday. Maybe it's part of the plan of just giving him today off. And then he'll go through the walkthrough on Friday and then be ready to go on Sunday. I don't know. Darrell Williams, I would really like to have healthy. And the fact that he was not mentioned as not practicing today is good. He was a full participant yesterday, right?
Both limited. Both running backs were limited.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Darrell Williams was limited.
Yeah.
Tyreek and Kelsey were full participants yesterday. So both running backs were limited yesterday. Edwards-Helaire not practicing today or, quote, working out. We'll see about Darrell Williams. And, of course, you know, Gore and McKinnon, if need be, they can step up. They've shown that they've got enough to do the job. And I think against the worst rushing defense in the league, they should be good enough to do the job. I've been wanting McKinnon to get more opportunities throughout the entire year. I know that injury played a role in some of that, you know, later half of the season. But I really thought he would be more of an impactful player, at least in reps and snap count than he has been, and not just on special teams. So we shall see. Spags? All right, Spags is there.
Yep. All right, just got off the practice field. Good day of work on Thursday. A couple more days to go here, and we'll be kicking it off. So with that, I'll open it up.
Let's go first to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Steve. I was curious about Melvin Ingram and what have you learned about him from coaching him for a couple months now? I know you were familiar with him for years in the league, but are there some things maybe about him that you've learned since he's been here?
He's a great teammate. I mean, you don't know those things about him when you watch him from afar. He's passionate about the game of football, and he's a real intuitive football player, Adam. Like, he gets football. When I say that, it kind of comes down. When you go over and explain something to him, or we're doing it this way because of, it makes sense to them. You know, some guys you coach through the years, they'll shake their head and say that they got it, but you're not really sure if they do. You know that when Melvin says, yeah, I know what you're talking about, coach, that he surely does. So that's something I would not have known. The rest of it, you see physicality and all the other things we talk about. I think we saw that on tape.
Let's go next to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Sam.
You guys have obviously it's this team before, but one of the things that they do uniquely is how quickly they get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
What has to go right against, you know, any team that gets rid of the ball quickly, just generally speaking, on your guys' end?
Yeah, you got to find a way to obviously win some of those downs. I mean, look, we're talking about a quarterback that knows exactly where to go with the football. He's got weapons out there he can get it to. I mean, we try to disrupt at the line of scrimmage, and hopefully that helps. But he's got guys that really can beat man coverage and press. You know, you'd like to think that could get a couple of breakups from our D linemen, you know, with the hands up. We talk about that a little bit because you're right. I mean, you present something to Ben. He knows it's coming, and he knows where to go with the ball. He gets it out really quick.
Next is Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
And I'll have a follow-up, Brad. Coach, Coach Reed said, I don't know, yesterday or Monday, that once you clinch the AFC West, it's kind of hard to, you know, what you're going to play for, right? Like, what are you driving for? That maybe that, you know, I don't know, the carrot's taken away. I know a couple of the guys have talked about, you know, tackling being an issue here the last couple of games for the defense. Is that how on your side of the ball it kind of manifests itself, that maybe – I don't want to call it a letdown, but that's the easiest word for me to use. But when you lose that thing you've been fighting for so long, that defensively one of the ways it kind of shows itself is maybe you don't tackle as well?
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, I'm not real smart to figure all that out. But what you're saying, you know, kind of makes sense to everybody. I mean, where you're going, I hope that wasn't the case. Maybe it's a missed tackle here or there and it looks ugly. And certainly we want to be playing better than we did the last two games. I mean, I think we'd all agree with that. And hopefully, you know, knowing that what we're faced with is no margin for error now. We talked about that on Tuesday. That was the first thing we talked about. So you prepare from now until the time you kick it off to eliminate as many mistakes as possible. And hopefully we'll do that.
Then earlier this year, I know when we were talking about different personnel groupings and things, you said, listen, we're going to need everybody, right? Yeah. Like that was kind of a common theme that everyone, whether it was somebody was asking about Juan Thornhill very early in the year, you said, we're going to need everybody. Is that the mindset of, you know, now a 17 game season is a marathon? Here it's lose or go home. So Right. Was it a sprint? And does that, you know, as part of why we're going to need everybody is to get to this point to where you're healthy? Because I think I read one story that said you're the healthiest team in the NFL. Was that the purpose of that? And does that now change once you get to a lose or go home situation?
Well, I mean, there was something behind that. And mostly, you know, that whole theme was, I do believe that when most of your guys know they're going to be involved in the game and they're going to be called upon, you know, the focus during the week tends to go up with everybody. I mean, let's face it, we're all human, right? If you didn't think you were going to get in the game unless somebody got hurt, you know, there's a little edge off there. So I think that helps us. Listen, it's all hands on deck right now. And whoever we put out there, we got to put the best 11 for that particular situation and hopefully win every down. But I hope we stay healthy. I mean, if that stat or fact that you're talking about is true, I hope we stay that way because we're going to need everybody. Certainly in this game, and then we'll worry about what happens after that. But it's all the focus is on this game.
Let's go next to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Coach, naturally, Melvin is coming up again this week, considering he started the year with the Steelers. I was just wondering, in your words, what did you think he meant when it came to an impact on what Chris Jones can do and then some of the other guys on the line and affecting your line as a whole?
Yeah, listen, the way I remember it, I can't remember exactly what week we got Melvin, but I know we were headed that way with Chris going inside at that point anyway. It was a little bit more of a natural tie-in when Melvin came because he's an outside guy at end, obviously. And I've said this before. It's just his physicality and the passion and the angriness he brings to the game. I think our guys have fed off of that. Now, he's not the only one. Other guys do the same thing and play it that way. Nick's done it and Willie's done it and Hitch has done it. And I think the more guys you can get that play that way, the better chance you have of playing good defense. So, again, I think we have been off a little bit these last two games. We got to get it back to where it was before and better than that because of what we're facing. This is a good football team. We're getting ready to play.
We've got four more. We'll go right down the line, starting with Rob Collins. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, Coach Bags, yesterday Ben Roethlisberger said that they have no chance in this game. They're going to just go out there and have a little fun, probably a little gamesmanship on Big Ben's part. But what are the challenges of playing a team who's basically playing with house money and whom everyone outside of your building doesn't think has a chance?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly don't look at it that way. Look, at there's 14 teams that make this tournament, per se, and any team can beat any other team. And the minute you start thinking that that's not the case, that's when you get knocked out. So our guys are taking the approach. We know this is a good football team. We know this is a good offense. We know this is a great quarterback with weapons. They can run the football. We're not taking anything for granted. And hopefully we'll play that way because we certainly need the top of our game defensively to help our organization get on to the next week.
We're next to Vahe. Go ahead, Vahe.
Hey, Steve. One more thing about Melvin. When you use the term great teammate, I wonder if you might be able to point to any examples or what you mean more broadly than that.
Let's see. I just like the way he handles himself and operates around the – whether I see him in the locker room or see him in the meeting room. I would tell you one thing. When I'm in the – I've said this before. When you're in front of all of them, you can see every guy. You can see if their eyes are closed. You can see if their eyes are open. He's wide-eyed and tuned in as anybody that we have in that. I mean, he loves football. He loves to embrace it and absorb it, and I think there's a lot of value to that.
Last two, Todd Palmer and Lindsay. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Coach. Kind of piggybacking off the Steelers really leaning into that underdog role, but it's also potentially Ben's last game. I mean, how important is it going to be to match their intensity and kind of match that emotion they may have early on in this game?
Yeah. Listen, I've got a lot of respect for that organization. They play in the AFC North. I've been in that division before. They play quote unquote AFC North football where they, you know, they try to pound it at you and, you know, they just try to outwill you. They're a physical football team. That's what they are. We've got to match that. If you don't match that, you're in trouble against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's one thing we've talked about. And hopefully when we get to Sunday night, the guys, our guys will bring that kind of mindset.
The last one to Lindsey Jones. Go ahead, Lindsey.
Hey, Steve, I wanted to piggyback a little bit what Pete was asking you before about Chris Jones. You said you guys were trending that way to having him play a little bit more on the inside at that point. Was that something that you know he wanted to do at that point? And why is he just so much better rushing from the inside?
I just have, but probably maybe because of its experience. Chris was willing to do anything. I mean, look, we got Jay Reed and we slid Chris outside and he functioned that way. But there is, you know, more than anything, I tell you what people forget is how long and tall he is. And when you can put that inside to most of these quarterbacks, that's a little bit intimidating, or at least it feels that way. On the outside, sometimes if you get around or in the back of the pocket, you lose all that size. So that may be one thing. And look, he's a skilled guy. We need him. We need him to play really well. And typically when he plays in well inside there, the other guys around him play a little bit better because they feed off of that.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Got it. All right, Brad.
All right, there's Steve Spagnuolo. And yes, Chris Jones much better on the inside than he is rushing from the outside and just simply playing a dominant defensive tackle, the most dominant defensive tackle, not named Aaron Donald, in the NFL. And it helps when you've got somebody on the outside that you can trust that is going to be a representative player at that position, like a Melvin Ingram. And the letdown question, you know, Andy Reid saying, it's kind of weird. You win the division, you still got to go play two games and find a way to get through that. And said, you know, and asked about, does that manifest itself in maybe some tackling? He said, you know, what you're saying makes sense. Hopefully that's not the case. But even the fact that, well, yeah, it makes sense if it's, you know, going out there and feeling like, you know, you don't have much to play for, which is absurd if they thought that would come through in tackling. We'll see. He says no. Eric Bieniemy.
Feels good coming off a great team victory after this past weekend. Now we're in the tournament, and it's time to go. It's time to play. So with that said, I'm all ears.
Let's go first to Herbie Teope. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Coach, good afternoon. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Herbie, how you doing?
Hey, I'm well, thanks. I'll have two questions for you.
Oh, gotcha.
The first one, obviously, Edwards-Helaire missing practice today. What is your comfort level with the group behind him? You know, Williams coming off a limited practice on Wednesday. But where's your comfort level with the running back group heading into this weekend?
You know what? My comfort level is where it always is, you know, the next man is up. And the thing is Clyde is going to do everything he can to be out there this weekend. We're going to let the people take care of what they need to take care of. But on top of that, Greg Lewis is doing a heck of a job with those guys. And when given an opportunity, those guys have proven that they can rise to the challenge. So I expect our guys, regardless of who's out there playing, to go out there and play hard and play fast. But on top of that, to give us something productive to help us to secure a victory.
Next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Eric, how you doing today?
I'm good. Adam, how you doing?
Good. Tyreek Hill had a different type of season for him. Not as many big plays, but a lot of catches, shorter catches, maybe more of a possession receiver, although I know he would hate me using that term. Has that been an easy transition for him to make? And Brad, I'll have a second question as well.
You know what? I'll say this. I think our guys have done a great job of just adjusting to how teams have been defending us. So obviously Tyreek would like to think of himself obviously as the fastest man in the universe, because we also know that he won the race, one of the fastest men in history. But I thought he's had a heck of a season. You know, he's done some great things. Obviously he has the skill set to be a great possession receiver as well as a deep threat. So I like the fact what Tyreek has brought to the table, and I like that he's showing everyone that he's capable of not just being a deep threat, but also someone who can make plays with his feet after the catch as well.
So what is it about his skill set that allows him not only to be a deep threat, but also effective underneath as well?
You know what? He works at it. And I'll say this. Tyreek is the ultimate professional. He studies. Okay. He takes great notes in the classroom. And on top of that, he's just a prideful kid who wants to know what to do, how to do it, and how can he go out there to help us to be the most productive team that we can possibly be. Those are the things that you want in all your players, because when you have people like that, you know, they're willing to do whatever it takes. Those are the things that make them special. Those are the little things that helped define Tyreek and helped him to become the player that he has become over the years.
Herbie, I think I cut you off there. I'm sorry. Let's go back to you. Go ahead, Herbs.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, Coach, obviously we're at the time of the year, and you know where I'm going with this because I have to ask it, but we're at the time of the year where your name is now going to be linked to multiple vacant head coaching positions. Up first, obviously, the Broncos, potentially on Monday with an interview. How do you deal with some of the outside distractions, knowing that you still have a job to do, and how has the last few years helped you to prepare for all these outside distractions?
You know what, Herbie, it's always good to be mentioned. And the thing about it, you don't allow it to become a distraction, because first and foremost, I have a job. Second of all, we got a big game this up and coming weekend. And that's the most important thing, to take care of business at hand and to focus on the now. All that stuff is going to take care of itself. And do not get me wrong. I am blessed and I am very fortunate to be a part of that chatter, to be a part of some of the things that are taking place. But right now, my focus is to make sure that we're ready to go out and play a 60-minute consecutive game where we can go out there and play hard and play fast, but more importantly, to play for each other.
Let's go next to Pete Sweeney. Good, Pete.
All right, I'll have a follow-up, please. First question kind of stems off from the Tyreek Hill point. Not as available last game, and Mecole Hardman really stood out. How much can you look, and not that you didn't have a confidence Hardman before, but how much can you look at one game and one outing and kind of as a coaching staff come back and say, you know, maybe even when Hill is okay to go, we got to get the ball in this guy's hands, maybe even a little bit more?
Well, I think you feel that about every player that steps on that field, because obviously we feel that we have a great, unique skill set of people that happen to be great football players. But on top of that, they work at it. Yes, Mecole Hardman did a hell of a job last week, and we're counting on more of that as we move forward. But when it's all said and done with, the next man has to step up. Regardless of place in any role, we're counting on those players to step up and give us some productive of time. And the thing about it, when it's all said and done with, we want all of our players to step to the plate. And that's why we've gotten to the point where we are. And that's why we've made this run over the past few years, because when players are not available, you know, our coaching staff has done a heck of a job of making sure that the next men are. And that's the important thing. And we'll just keep chopping and keep moving from there.
And then, Coach, not talking about anyone in particular here, why is Andy Reid's program a good place for future head coaches to kind of be born?
You know what, Coach does a great job. First of all, I mean, he's a father figure. He's a head coach. He's been around for a number of years. He's very, very consistent in what he does. You know, he does a great job of delegating, making sure that everybody knows exactly what their roles are. But on top of that, he allows you to be yourself, okay? He wants you to be the expert at what you do. And so when you have a coach that's not over you just saying, hey, you have to do this or you have to do that, it makes it special, because guys can come to work feeling comfortable in their own skin and going out there and performing up to the best capabilities. And then another thing is there are no egos. We all work together. And I think that's the unique part that makes our coaching staff a very, very strong place, because we all work together. We all get along. And if my idea is not good enough, it's okay. You know, if the coach's idea is not good enough, that's okay. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that we want to do is to do what is best for our team. And that's the thing that makes it special working for under coach, you know, working under Coach Reed, and just the culture that he's built here.
Let's go next to Matt Derrick. Good, Matt.
Hey, Coach, kind of actually along those lines, you know, a lot of coaches have talked about how Coach Reed has encouraged them to put together their plan, their binder, about how that they would coach when if they were to get to become a head coach and build an organization. Have you done that? Do you have a binder? And what are the most important things for you that you put in there?
You know, and here we go. We're deviating off the path here, okay? Focus is the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I will say this, okay? One of the first persons to ever motivate me about building my binder happens to be the head coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Me and Mike T have been the best of friends. We actually coached together in Minnesota, and he was the defensive coordinator at that time. And I watched him go through his interviewing process, and it was very, very impressive. And so I always knew after watching him have that experience and watching him obviously become the great coach that he has become, it's been very motivating to me. And so, you know, I've been collecting my items for my book for a number of years now, and you just keep adding on to it and keep building it. But I've been blessed and fortunate to work with a number of great people who have had a big impact on my career.
And we'll go last to Seren Petro. Go ahead, Seren.
And Brad, I'll have a follow-up. Actually, Coach, listen, answer this however you want. I'm going to be blunt. Just how many interviews have you had, first of all? Would you share that with us?
There are no interviews right now, okay? And we're not allowed to interview because right now we're in a wild card playoff game. Don't you guys know we play the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend? What are we talking about, fellas? We talking about football? We talking about interviews?
Well, I know you are, and I know that your focus is the Pittsburgh Steelers, but there's a lot of people that are football fans that their focus is a bigger picture than that, right? You know, good or bad, right or wrong, and whether you want it or not, you're kind of the tip of the spear of that right now because of your qualifications for the job. So I understand that you can't interview right now, but they had a new rule that you could interview over the last 2 weeks of the season. One, how did you think that rule went? And then two, have you interviewed previous to now this year? And if so, if you would, and you don't obviously don't have to, Coach, and I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but no, just, you know.
I know you're not trying to be a jerk, and I'll address it. So first of all, you guys know me. You guys have been around me. Okay. The only thing that matters right now is the task at hand. So obviously there's a new rule out. My job is to make sure that I'm doing everything under the sun that to help us to be the most productive team and to give us the best opportunity to go out and accomplish the goal. The goal has always been to win the Super Bowl. Okay. So in order to do that, we got to take care of the day-to-day matters. Now, when called upon to have those opportunities, we'll take care of that when the time is right. Okay. So right now, my time and my focus and my energy is solely on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And at some point in time, that's going to take care of itself. Now, due to the rules and the way it works out, I will not be available until after this game. And right now, my whole point is to make sure that's not a distraction in anything that we want to accomplish, because the only thing that matters is making sure that our guys are mentally and physically prepared to go out and play the best that they can play on Sunday. And the rest of the other stuff will take care of itself.
Coach EB, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
All right, there's Eric Bieniemy. By the way, you're listening to Sports Radio 810 at WHB Kansas City. Getting ready for the Steelers, but we know the questions are going to be out there because his name has been linked to a couple of jobs, and he's interviewed what has been reportedly talked about 14 times, but not sure, you know, how many that actually is. And Seren asked the question, was like, look, I'm not going to say, but I'll at least ask the question that, you know, is there a number as to how many interviews you've had? I'm not going to say, but also not interviewing right now, getting ready for the Steelers. Here's Dave Toe.
And a couple of infractions over the last two games to close out the regular season. And probably he might be too jacked up because he's a rookie, but how do you kind of temper that enthusiasm so a rookie will play disciplined and not have those kinds of errors, which could potentially be game-changing errors as the postseason progresses?
Right. You know, we talked about those. The thing about Zane, he's playing hard as he can possibly play. He's got to play a little smarter in some spots, obviously. But I still love the guy. You know, the holding call that happened 2 weeks ago, I mean, that could have happened to anybody on the field. I mean, I could have been called. It could not have been called. And then the block or the running into the kicker, that was, he was 2 inches away from being the hero of the game. I mean, that's the way I look at it. I mean, he comes clean. He does everything right. He probably just he false-stepped a little bit, didn't get there early enough. But he was 2 inches away from blocking that punt, scooping and scoring. And now it's 14-0 with a block punt. You know, they have no life at all. Now it didn't happen that way, right? We rough them. You know, that gives them a little bit of life. So, you know, there's a fine line. You have to you know, you want to stay aggressive as a special teams coach, you know, and as a team, you want to try to make a play, but you also, when you got to realize, you know, when you got there early enough, you know, to be able to just take it off the foot, and then when you got to get there late enough to where you have to pull off. So, you know, it's there's a fine line there, but I don't want to slow him down, you know, by any means, by turning him into a passive guy because worried about making a mistake. I want him to stay aggressive. And I want him to get the block next time. I mean, no false step, get there early enough, get the block so we can get a scoop and score and help our football team.
Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Dave. A couple of things. Herb kind of stole my question a little bit about Zane Anderson, but curious what your message is to him, a young guy who's still trying to learn. So what's your teaching points been in the last couple of weeks to him? And Brad, I'll have a second question as well.
My teaching point is simple. It's don't let one bad play, you know, mess up the next play. You know, you got to forget it. I mean, if one bad play happens, you got to come in the next play and execute the next play at 100%, you know, and be where you're supposed to be on the field, you know, do your job. I mean, those are things that we try to coach. I mean, mistakes are going to happen. I mean, especially with a run kid, a young kid like that. But, you know, we still love him. We still love the kid. He's a good player. He's going to help us down the road in the future. He's going to help us in the playoffs. We're not down on Zane by any means.
Yeah, so what tells you about him that he's going to make a play, as you suggest?
Because we see him in the practice every day. We see his speed. I mean, we saw it on the field. I mean, he's made plays for us, you know, while he's been in there. He's, you know, good plays. I mean, you know, running down kick returners from behind. I mean, his speed, his size, he's got a great combination of those two things, and he's got the right temperament. I mean, he is not afraid now, you know, and we just got to get it under control a little bit more, you know, just be a little bit smarter in some spots. But, you know, he's going to be a good football player for us.
Let's go next to Todd Palmer. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Coach, I just wanted to real quick get your thoughts on Ray McLeod. He's a guy who had a decent showing, one of the few bright spots in that December 26th game. Is he a potential difference maker for Pittsburgh on Sunday?
Yes, he is. He's definitely a guy that we respect. We feel, and we talked about this, like he's gotten better every game, you know, as a punt returner and a kick returner. Every game you watch, he's getting a little bit more confident, you know, and he hits it 90 miles an hour. He's a tough guy to tackle. He's got great balance, you know, and he's got really good vision. You know, that's the thing that he's, you know, really good at is on kickoff return. He could find the hole. So, you know, we have to be careful. We got to pick our spots, when to kick to him, when not to kick to him. You know, we respect him for sure, you know, and we have to be at our best, you know, to get him under control.
We'll go last to Pete Sweeney. Go ahead, Pete.
Sure. In Tommy's game of the week, he made a point of it to mention Chris Lammons. I know he was designated to return. You anticipate his return, and just how much of a boost could that be for the postseason?
You know, Lammons is a really good player for us. I mean, he's a four-phase starter. He's obviously our starting gunner, him and Kemp. You know, having them both in there, you know, makes a difference. You know, I know he's still working to get back. You know, we're not sure if he's going to get back this week or not, but, you know, he's working hard at it, and, you know, he's a guy we're missing right now. But, you know, we have other guys that are going to step up, you know, and you know, we have a lot of guys, not only on our team, but on our practice squad that we can elevate, you know, for any game, you know, going forward during the playoffs. So we feel pretty good about that.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks. Take care.
All right, there's Dave Tobe. They're the coordinators. There's the zone for this Thursday edition. Srin Petra, the program, comes up next. He'll have much more about the Chiefs, things he heard and took away from Spags and Bieniemy and Dave Tobe as well, getting ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, as we said earlier, keep Corey and his family in your thoughts and prayers, as Corey lost his mother yesterday. That's why he is out today. We'll be out tomorrow. Who knows when he will be back, but we are thinking about Corey and certainly keeping him and his family in our thoughts. And rough time for him, but he will make it through. He's got a lot of support system, but we know a very tough time to go through for him. So we're thinking about Corey Anderson as he tries to make his way through this. Srin Petro is up next.